Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
You are now listening to Cryptid Cocktail Party.
Creatures, let's meet for a drink. It's a treat.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Cryptic Cocktail Party, a show where we have a few drinks, share a few laughs, take a dive into the unknown. I'm your host, Dave, joined as always by my wonderful co-host, Sarge. How's it going, Sarge?
I'm fucking amazing.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
That's a bold statement.
It is bold, but I'm going to stick with it.
All right, you better have some fucking reasons to back that up.
Well, I mean, in light of recent events, I think we can all be very excited about the fact that they may have found some really definitive proof that there's life on Mars.
Oh. Oh, yeah. You sent me that. I didn't watch it. I'm not going to lie.
That's okay. It's a long video. The guy breaks it down really, really succinctly and kind of explains like why this is different from all those other times they thought maybe they found life somewhere. Okay. Basically, the crux of it is like the evidence would be very easy to explain if it was caused by living organisms. It would be very difficult to explain if it wasn't caused by living organisms.
Okay. But I mean, they said the same thing about like the moon. Like it's easier to explain, it's easier to disprove the existence of the moon than it is to prove its existence. So you can't trust mainstream science is all I'm saying, Sarge, all right?
Yikes. Have you ever gone outside at night?
Yeah.
In the big white orb in the sky, what do you think that is?
Hologram.
I need a new podcast.
Sorry, dude. My fucking ever since the incident, my fucking TikTok for you page has been so out of whack that all I'm seeing is all these crazy right wing people, and it's I mean it's melting my brain a little bit, but some of it's
incident. What incident are you talking about?
The string.
I'm just kidding.
Incident?
I'm just being a pain in the neck. Let's move on.
All right, Sarge. I got an episode for us today. I think it's pretty good. We're going to be in some familiar territory today. You might remember this topic from a while back. We touched on it briefly, but I figured it kind of needed its own okay. full episode, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Okay. Are you ready to dive in? Also, I'm doing great, by the way. Thanks for asking.
You know what, Dave? You know what? That's on me. I apologize. I'm a bad friend, and I'm sorry. Let's pause here. How are you doing? You already told me how you were doing. Your dog threw up.
Yeah, that was before we started recording. I'm just fucking with you. All right.
I am a bad friend. I'm a bad friend. I get it. All right, let's go. Let's move on.
Cape Cod in the summertime. Oh,
yes.
What a place to be. Beaches, boat shoes, lobster rolls, and more sunburnt douchebags than a Trump rally. But once the season starts to change and the tourists go home, everything kind of shuts down. All right. The air gets cold and the wind coming off the ocean turns a bit sharp.
And everyone starts doing meth.
The streets go quiet, and towns that were once bright and alive just a few months earlier are now desolate and take on kind of like a whole different type of vibe.
Yes.
And in October of 1939, Provincetown, Massachusetts felt the vibe shift in a very real way. And it wasn't just the usual eerie off-season vibe that normal, like that normally comes with the territory. People were whispering about something lurking in the dunes and creeping around the streets at night. Something that could move faster than any human, leap over 10-foot fences, and disappear into the night without a trace. Some say it had glowing eyes, others say it could spit blue fire. And by Halloween, Provincetown wasn't just uneasy, it was in a full-blown state of panic. So today, Sarge, we are going to be revisiting one of the very first topics I ever talked to you about, the Devil of the Dunes, a.k.a. the Black Flash of Provincetown. Do you remember this one?
Wow. Yes. You know, from your description, I thought you were just describing like a very committed drag queen.
Well,
she was just giving like really good face the whole time.
All right. So what do you remember about the story?
I famously don't remember much.
This is over like a year and a half ago. We did this. You weren't even the host yet. You were just a guest when we talked about this one.
Yeah, it was just a short episode, right? Because we were just covering a bunch of different things.
Yeah, I think we covered like two or three in that one.
Shit. All I really remember were the angry villagers, but that's like a normal cryptid scenario.
Yeah.
And I think there were just a lot of sightings. I don't recall it doing anything violent.
Kinda. Well, you know what?
Okay.
Why don't we get into it?
Let's do it. Let's get into it.
All right. So Whispers of the Flash actually started the year before the real panic set in. Sometime in late 1938, a group of school kids claimed that they saw a strange man out near the dunes. They described this figure as being dressed head to toe in black with a long cape and hood. Some of them swore that his eyes glowed in the dark, and a few even said that they noticed he had long, shiny, silver ears sticking out from his head. Now, because children are stupid and nothing they say should ever be taken seriously, most of the adults brush this story off as nothing more than overactive imaginations. I mean,
I get it.
It was the off season. It's quieter. It's colder. Getting dark out earlier. They thought the kids were bound to end up spooking themselves walking home from school anyways, because that shit probably happens every year around this time.
The Cape is a spooky fucking place in the wintertime.
I believe it. I don't think I've ever been.
I've been, and it's just very haunting. It's like a dystopian movie.
Yeah, the only thing, I mean, did you watch American Horror Story at all?
Yeah, I've watched some.
There was a season where it was like a season that was like split in two. One like took place like on the Cape during the off season, and like a bunch of vampires. It is kind of an eerie vibe, maybe. Yeah, but
it's
that's
an eerie
just,
place in the winter. So that would be actually a great setting for a horror movie.
Yeah, and then the other half of the season, I think, was like Valiant Thor or something like similar to it. It was weird. Okay. Yeah, but in October of 1939, the stories got a little harder to ignore because one night, a young woman by the name of Maria Costa was walking past Town Hall when she noticed a figure standing in the shadows. She described it as inhumanly tall, cloaked all in black with glowing eyes and the same silver ears that the kid had mentioned. And before she even had a chance to like react or even really like acknowledge what she was seeing, it leapt out at her while emitting a strange, like buzzing like growl. I don't know what that would have sounded like. To me, it's probably like a cicada sound.
Right.
Maybe. I don't know. Either way, sounds not great. So rightfully terrified, Maria booked it into a nearby cafe screaming for help. Now, lucky for her, the cafe just happened to be filled with whatever the 1930s version of quote-unquote good guys with guns are, and they rushed outside to search the street, but whatever had jumped out at her was already gone by then. So now, this wasn't just like kids with overactive imaginations. Whatever Maria encountered was real enough to shake her to her core, and everyone who witnessed her come into that cafe that night, they noticed it. So now for the first time, the adults of P-Town had to like seriously consider that maybe there's a giant glowing-eyed demon elf prowling the streets at night.
So this woman was walking down the street and saw this horrifying creature.
I don't think she saw it, like it was in the shadows. Like I don't think she really got like until like it really jumped out at her that she got the good look at it. I might have written that weird.
Okay. But like first she was afraid, she was petrified.
Yeah, you can say that.
It was the first drag show ever. That's what it was. And she just didn't know what to expect.
Real quick, I keep saying Providence when I mean Provincetown. So if you hear me say the Black Flash of Providence, I really mean the Black Flash of Provincetown. It's easy to mix up, guys. Leave me alone. Yes, the origins of drag don't come from anything else but the Black Flash of Providence. Not going to lie, Black Flash of Providence, not a bad drag name.
That's a great drag name.
Not
dude.
Bad. Also, the Devil of the Dunes, also oh, not come terrible. On.
That's like a burlesque show.
I feel like there should be a drag show in P-Town called Devils of the Dunes, and it's all like a dark drag show.
I like it a lot.
No one steal this idea. If you're hearing this, P-Town, forget you heard it.
If you need directors, Dave and I will help. Two straight men directing a drag show. I mean, nothing could go wrong.
It'd be fun, I feel like.
It would be hilarious.
Yeah. So there's the people are taking it seriously now.
Yeah.
And it only got worse from here. Like in the days that followed Maria Costa's encounter, Provincetown went from, quote, these kids and their stories, they should be in the textile factories where they belong, to
their tiny hands fixing big machines,
to, oh fuck, shit is getting real, real quick. What had started out as just scattered rumors and one actual encounter, that all snowballed into an avalanche of shit. People were spotting the Flash all over town, and the details just kept getting weirder. Some claimed they saw the Flash sprinting through the yards in the West End, while minutes later, other calls came in from the East End saying it was over there now, which I feel goes without saying is physically impossible for the average person to do.
Yeah,
this thing was everywhere all the time, all at once, which made everyone a little on edge. It could be anywhere at any time.
That make me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Parents kept their kids home from school. Everyone was locking their windows and doors. And almost no one was out and about after dark. It was pretty much after sunset, the already quiet town just got a whole lot quieter. But that doesn't mean the encounter stopped because, like I said, almost no one went out after dark. For example, one night, a teenage boy ran to the police station, tears in his eyes, swearing up and down. That's my Trump impression. It's really bad.
Thank you. Sir, you're doing a great job as president, but there's a demon.
Tears in his eyes, swearing up and down that the Flash jumped out at him and spit blue flames in his face while he was walking home from the library.
Jesus.
It's not funny, but it is.
It's a little funny.
Others said they saw it grab at a woman from an alley before disappearing into the night. Not like with the woman. That would be an even crazier story.
just tearing her off.
And in at least two separate instances, men who confronted the Flash were knocked right on their ass with a single blow, with one of the men waking up the next morning to find a red hand-shaped welt on his face. kind of like Chris Rock the morning after the Oscars. Very similar scenario.
He got bitch slapped.
Hard, too. He fucking knocked it out until the next morning.
The other man got a lap dance to a Cher song.
So far, we got spitting blue flames into the faces of children, grabbing at women, and open palm slapping dudes on the street. Now, for some of the things we cover, that's pretty tame behavior.
It's also very much like a drag show. You really aren't getting very far away from a drag show at all.
Well, the drag shows may come up later.
Okay.
All right. But soon, the encounters became a little more violent, and it's here that we get into Sarge's favorite part of any story, Americans exercising their Second Amendment right to blindly fire at things they don't understand. Am I wrong?
It's my favorite part. Every time we do one of these shows, my favorite part is always when the villagers get armed.
So
nothing like irresponsible Americans with a firearm.
So a local farmer, Charles Farley, claimed that he spotted the Flash skulking around his fenced-in backyard. So Charlie, not one to hesitate when it comes to trespassers, grabbed his shotgun, flung open his door, and fired point-blank into this motherfucker.
There you go.
But to Chuck's surprise, instead of just crumpling into an absolute pile, The creature just laughed, this horrible, like, distorted laugh that he said, quote, cut straight through his skull. Then, in a single bound, the Flash hopped over the 8-foot fence and then just disappeared into the night. Now, Farley swore he couldn't have missed from the distance he fired at. And I assume he's speaking from experience. I'm sure this dude has probably murked a few vagrants in his time.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. There's a lot of symbols on his fence out front warning the other hobos that there's a man with a gun.
Yeah. He claimed it was like the thing was bulletproof or somehow not entirely human. But this is nothing compared to what went down not long after or before. I'm not entirely sure of the timeline. Some of them get a little bit murky. It doesn't matter because one night, the police got multiple calls from some concerned citizens that the Flash was lurking down near the local school playground.
Well, that you can't have. You can't have that.
Yeah. So 4 officers responded, all armed with pistols and flashlights at the ready. Now, the playground, it's important to note, is surrounded by a 10-foot high fence. So there's really no way in or out unless you come in through, like, the main gate. So they thought that if they could just get in there and corner it, like, this whole ordeal would finally be over. So the 4 officers went to the playground, spread out, and began sweeping the playground with their flashlights. Now, for a moment, everything was silent. Then they heard that same inhuman laugh echoing across the playground. They all shone their flashlights in the direction of the laugh, and there in the corner was the Flash, just watching them. Yeah, they shouted
That's
at
so creepy.
It's not good.
No, I don't like it.
They shouted at it to freeze, like the whole, like, hey, hands where I can see them, I assume. I don't know what cops were like back then.
I'm like, nah, get over here, see? That's what I was. 23 skidoo.
But instead of complying with the lawful order, it tilted its head back and let out another mocking guttural laugh before making its move at them. The officers responded by opening fire, emptying their pistols into this thing, but it didn't go down. I mean, some shots may have missed in its chaos, but at least some of them had to have hit, I assume. But
yeah.
Still, it just kept moving. Then in a single impossible leap, the Flash cleared the 10-foot tall fence, landed on the other side, and just like the other encounters, vanished into the night.
Jesus.
Afterwards, one of the officers, Francis Marshall, gave a statement about what he saw. He admitted the creature wasn't quite as impossibly tall as some people have claimed, though it was definitely above average height. But more important,
drag queens usually are.
But more important,
it's the heels.
Are we gonna get canceled for you bringing up drag queens this much?
I'm celebrating them. I think this is fucking great.
Okay.
Literally nothing that you've described so far has disproven the drag queen. Jumping over high fences, impossibly tall, extremely fast and nimble.
Are they known for their vertical leap?
I mean, I assume. I don't know. There's a lot of things that they need to be able to do, like splits.
Yeah.
And so I feel like they should have pretty good leg strength, right?
I guess. I don't know. We'll go with it.
We'll find out.
Yeah. But more importantly, he swore that close up, he saw that its face, quote unquote, wasn't a face at all. Not like in like a demon way. It looked more like a metal mask, possibly even like an old flour sifter being used as a mask with like the mesh over the face and then 2 long handles sticking up like pointed ears,
Yeah, no, I know what you mean now. When you said flour sifter at first, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, like thought it was like a gardening tool.
No, like and a like flour, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, now I know. Yeah. Oh, like a fencing mask.
Kind of, yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
So this might explain the reports of the long silver ears in earlier sightings, but this is just one guy's opinion, and even if it was just a shorter, tall man wearing a mask, it didn't really explain how anyone could move like the Flash did or how he was able to shrug off a shotgun blast to the chest like it was a fucking mosquito bite. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So now at this point, the town is in chaos. Some people are now armed and patrolling their streets. The police are chasing reports left and right. And the Flash seemed to always kind of be just like one step ahead of everyone. And then, So what went from like a kid's story has now turned into pretty much a full-on public safety crisis.
Like, yeah. Well, that's because everyone keeps opening their door and just firing into the night.
Yeah, you got people fucking just shooting willy-nilly. People roaming their blocks to make sure it's safe. But and then now the police are fucking stretched thin because they're running all over town trying to find this fucking phantom.
While dodging gunfire.
So the police are completely overwhelmed, and the Provincetown Police Chief, Anthony P. Tarvers, was starting to feel the pressure. People wanted answers, they wanted arrest, but most importantly, people just wanted to feel safe again. They wanted to be able to go outside at night.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
So he just started grasping at straws to try and figure this whole thing out. Like, for instance, on October 26th, he brought three local youths into the station for questioning. Now, these weren't just, like, three random kids. Like, he didn't, like, open the door of the station and go, you, and you, come here.
No, he found them walking down the street, one on top of the other, wearing a giant trench coat.
These kids were like, they're like known troublemakers in the area. Like, one was a tall high school track star and hurdler nicknamed Stretch, which is
that's the greatest nickname,
but it's so obvious for a tall person,
right?
You know,
but
what I mean?
He might have been the first one, considering this was in the 1930s.
The other was just another tall kid named Ford, and the third was a kid named, I don't know if it's Rego or Rego. It's R-E-G-O. I'm going to go Rego. Yeah. Rego sounds fun.
I would say, yeah, Rego sounds good.
Yeah. Now, the chief's theory was that if anyone in town could pull off a stunt like scaring people half to death and then leaping tall-ass fences, it would be these boys. Again, one of them was a high school track star and hurdler, so he might have a pretty decent jump to him. Yeah. I have no idea. So Travers began grilling them about the sightings, the attacks, anything related to the Flash. He also questioned them about a string of mysterious arsons that I guess were also happening at the time, because of course there was something else going on.
of course.
But after hours of questioning, the boys denied everything, and with nothing really solid to hold them on, he had to let them go. So that went nowhere, but he didn't stop. So now Halloween is just a few days away, and the last thing the town needed was more chaos. So Tavers came up with an idea. If you can't catch the pranksters, give them nowhere and no one to play with. I mean, does that make sense?
A little bit. So what, are you like, kick everybody out of town? Everybody leave.
You're close. He gathered them all into one location.
Okay.
So he organized a town-wide Halloween party. It's kind of like a pressure valve, but also to kind of like...
Very smart.
Yeah. And on October 31st, that party was bumping. Practically the entire town showed up. Hundreds of kids and adults packed in for nights of games, costume contests, and even an obstacle course for some reason. I didn't get the details on what it would be. I assume it had to be Halloween-themed somehow.
Right.
You know? Unless this is just like a weird way of one of the... things that maybe they meant like a corn maze, but I feel like you can't do that inside. That'd be hard.
It'd be difficult. So they probably just did like bobbing for apples, or, well, this was like the 1930s, so it was probably like bobbing for cocaine because it was still legal.
Medicinal cocaine. All right. So yeah, so the party's bumping. Everyone's having a good time. It has a little lighthearted fact in this story. A 3-year-old boy named Manuel Jason Jr. won the costume contest dressed as none other than the Black Flash. He had like a little tiny cape and glowing eyes. People loved it. It was like a little dark humor, I guess, kind of. Maybe not dark humor, but...
I mean, nothing says New England like dressing up the thing that terrifies you the most.
Yeah, and I feel like it probably helped ease the tension a bit.
Yeah.
You know? So, with the event wrapping up... Tarvers addressed the crowd and the press in attendance directly, and in front of everyone declared, quote, "As far as I'm concerned, the Black Flash is dead and gone," end quote. He then went on to tell the reporters that the whole thing was more than likely a prank gone too far by local teens and that it was officially over. Now, he had absolutely no fucking reason to think this or say this and had nothing to back it up. He was just talking out of his ass. But it worked. just like that, the attack stopped. There was no more sightings, no more shootouts, no chaos. It's kind of like he read like The Secret or something and just manifested it into being true.
Nothing stops a bullet like saying it's just a prank.
Like, I just don't understand how, like, he just like, yeah, it's over. And then it was, over.
Amazing. Just incredible police work.
But yeah, behind the scenes, nothing was ever officially solved. Like, no one was arrested. There was no names giving, nothing. And by early November, P-Town began to finally like breathe again. Like, families let their kids back outside. Businesses reopened at night. It was all normal. Until the fall of 1945, when the Flash decided he wanted to just check in, see how everyone's holding up, you know?
He heard the war was over. He wanted to swing back.
Yeah. At first, it started out the same as before, just whispers, you know, people swearing they'd seen something tall and cloaked moving through the dunes or a dark figure lurking near backyards after sunset. And the sightings were pretty, like, few and far between, but enough to make people feel a bit uneasy, maybe trigger some PTSD, you know?
Certainly.
Yeah. And then things escalated. In early November, police received a report of a prowler at the old Bradford Street School, which by then had been abandoned. Officers responded and briefly sighted the figure. It matched the description from 6 years earlier. Long black cape, metallic, quote-unquote, silver ears. But like always, before they could close in, it leapt over the tall fence and vanished into the night. Now, the department went on full-on high alert, fearing the return of the panic they'd worked so hard to bury. Like, they didn't want to have to deal with this shit again.
Right.
But the Flash did not care what they wanted.
And of course
not. For a few weeks, there were scattered reports of the Black Flash being spotted near the edge of town, but nothing really concrete until one night in late December. That night, four children from the Jannard family, the Jannard family. Close enough. We were playing outside their home when they saw a massive dark figure creeping towards them through the mist. The kids bolted inside, slammed the door and locked it. Now, their parents weren't home, so they're just kind of inside being terrified by themselves. And the creature began pounding on the doors, rattling the doorknobs. It was circling the house. And the children...
That's so scary.
...huddled together, terrified, and they were certain that this thing was going to get in.
Yeah, like as a little kid, that's fucking terrifying.
Yeah. But finally, 13-year-old Alan Jannard decided they couldn't just sit there, and he was about to take some action. So he grabbed a bucket, filled it with boiling hot water from the stove, snuck upstairs, and then peering out a second-story window, he caught the Flash standing near the back door and just dumped the scalding hot water right on top of its head.
Oh, shit. It was a Home Alone situation.
Yeah. The figure let out this fucking guttural scream. It staggered backwards, and then it just fucked right off back into the mist. As folklorist Robert Cahill later wrote, quote, "They saw him retreat through the backyard, a dripping black phantom, not looking half as fearsome as when he arrived," end quote.
Robert Ellis Cahill is a legend. That guy has written so many stories about folklore in New England. I've read a ton of his books.
Oh, but that's such a
such a great description.
But that seemed to do the trick. Apparently, if you just pour boiling hot water on someone, they just don't ever want to come back. And that was the last
duly
time.
Noted.
Yeah, the Flash was ever seen again. How you feeling so far? Does any of this ring a bell from the first time we talked about it?
Yeah. I fucking love this story. I don't even care if it's true, because I think it's just such a great setting, because it closed down New England town in the summer, in the fall when everybody's gone back home. Just, it's so perfect. It's such a great setting.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I love this story so much. It's so funny to me. And it's very New England.
Somebody in Provincetown needs to get on this and do like a tour.
You live in Massachusetts. Why don't you reach out? I'm sure you know someone in P-Town who might have some sort of connection to something.
I don't, but I could try.
Okay. All right, Sarge, are you ready to dive into some theories as to what the fuck the Flash could be?
Yes. Let's do it.
All right. So, first off, is the prankster theory. It's the most straightforward explanation, and it was the one that Chief Tarvers himself was trying to push back in 1939. And this is that the Black Flash was just a handful of local pranksters. Travers claimed it was four young men working together with one riding on another's shoulders under a long cape to create the illusion of towering height.
Did I call it or did I call it?
And the silver ears, again, those were just the handles of a flower sifter mask. There was four kids, two were on each other's shoulders, but they were across town.
Okay.
So that's how, like, they were able to be spotted in so many different locations. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm still confused as to how that made them bulletproof.
Oh, yeah. It only explained the appearance. It doesn't really cover how it was bulletproof, able to spit fire, or have a 10-foot vertical leap. But
yeah, that's also a problem. Because I don't even think like the greatest basketball players in history can jump that high. So I'd love to know that explanation.
You don't know that. You don't know that.
I'm pretty confident.
That anyone
pretty confident can... that's a tough vertical leap.
No, it's
I fine. Mean Stretch was a legend.
Exactly what I'm saying. Okay. If anyone could do it, it's Stretch, and he could do it with a kid on his back.
Exactly. Stretch was supernaturally amazing.
He was the Aaron Hernandez of his day.
Later went on to become Larry Bird.
Oh.
Little known fact.
So I take back my Aaron Hernandez joke then.
Yeah, I should take that back.
All right, so
maybe edit that out entirely.
The next theory is the outsider theory. Some locals thought that the Flash wasn't from town at all, maybe like a leftover tourist or drifter who stayed behind after summer end. Promisetown, it's always kind of been like a haven for artists, outsiders, and eccentrics. So it wasn't like a stretch to think that someone strange could be camping out in the dunes and scaring the townsfolk just for fun. Now, back then, this theory even got mixed with prejudice, unfortunately. A few whispered it might have been a man in drag or someone from Provincetown's small but at this time growing gay community. They were kind
of
like
one of them Italians.
Yeah, they were kind of unfairly scapegoating drag queens in the gay community, labeling it as like the weirdos haunting their streets. P-Town wasn't always as open as
no.
is today.
No, that's correct.
And then you got the Devil of the Dunes. Not everyone bought into the prankster idea. Some believed or wanted to believe that the Black Flash was something supernatural. Glowing eyes, right. Guttural laugh, the way it shrugged off shotgun blasts. it's hard to explain with just kids in costumes. So the name Devil in the Dunes stuck around for a reason. And for a while, there was like real fears that something otherworldly had come to Provincetown, especially when reports mentioned blue flames spinning from its mouth. And then the last theory, and finally, probably the most realistic theory, is one that it always comes back down to, is mass hysteria. Provincetown in the off season is isolated, it's eerie, there's long nights, empty streets, the wind is constantly howling through the dunes.
Yeah.
You add in real world stress like the looming war in Europe, because this is right before or during
1939, right?
Yeah. And you got like the perfect recipe for fear. Like one weird encounter can spiral quickly. Like a shadow becomes a monster, a prank becomes a townwide panic. And by the time the Janner kids boiled one off their back porch, the story, you know, was kind of growing. But yeah, so those are just some of the theories. What are you thinking?
I want this to be real so bad.
You want it to be a full on Devil in the Dunes type thing?
Yes.
Okay.
However, I also love the drag queen angle, but not for the reason that they loved the drag queen angle. To me, it's like this is a powerful athlete that is putting on one hell of a performance.
Yeah. I could fuck with that idea.
That'd be so funny. Just living their best life. Mm. Like fucking with the straights, you know?
Sometimes you just got to do that to us.
Yeah, you got to spook the normies.
Oh shit. All right, well that's all I got for you, man. I
love this story. I love it even more because we went in depth. I want the devil to be real, but I also kind of love the idea of it being like just some dumbass kid who thought he was like going to terrorize the whole neighborhood and doused with boiling water.
I feel like the second sighting had to have been like, the first ones are harder to explain, but the second ones, since it was like, there wasn't really any real physical like attacks that time, it had to have been just someone fucking with the town. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it could have been a mix of things too. Like, there might have been some one very real scary occurrence.
Yeah.
And then everybody just jumped onto it.
It could be, but yeah, the 1945 sightings, I feel like, were more of a prankster.
Yeah, that was probably a prankster, I think.
And
somebody who heard the story and was like, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, and some this fucking 13-year-old kid just fucked that dude up. Like,
yeah, ruined his fucking day.
Like, I feel like back then no one probably would have thought to do it, but I wonder if, like, if you had contacted like hospitals or a doctor's office, if like
any burn victims,
yeah, any scalding victims come through here, or like
a missed opportunity, really.
Hey, because he was in the mist.
I didn't think about that, but that's good.
It's not bad.
I'm good for doing it inadvertently.
All right, man. Well, that's all I got. That was we brought this up yesterday when we were talking to the Believe in the Bizarre people, this story, and it dawned on me that we didn't really cover it in detail, and I wanted to go into it more because it's such a fun story. It's goofy. It is very Spring-Heeled Jack kind of coded.
Yep.
I mean, there were theories.
I'm glad you went into it, because I remember the story, I want to go to Provincetown and see if like any of those places like have anything about it, you know, like see if there's a plaque somewhere.
Maybe like if there's like a historical society, there might be something.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I feel like a plaque is a little much.
I mean, come on.
They should put one in front of that kid's house. It's like, this is the site where the fucking the Flash got scalded to death.
Where a child poured boiling water on gay icon, the Black Flash.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, oh no, I was going to say real quick. There was another theory that like, Spring-Heeled Jack and the Flash were the same thing. I didn't put it in here because it's kind of stupid. It doesn't make any sense, but the two are very similar.
They did that with the Servant Girl Annihilator and Jack the Ripper.
Was that they were one and the same?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it didn't make sense at all.
Yeah, they never do. They just say it.
Yeah. They're like, haha, problem solved.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah. So thanks for listening, everyone. Thank you to Sarge for being here as always.
Never miss it.
Yeah. If you like what you heard, please leave us a 5-star rating and review anywhere you can. It definitely helps. Follow us on Instagram at Cryptic Cocktail. Follow us on TikTok, Cryptic Cocktail Party. Join our Patreon. It's going to get retooled soon. I know I said that last week. I'm just lazy and also busy at the same time somehow.
I'm also busy and lazy, so I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I got. Sarge, you got anything you wanna plug before we sign off?
You can find me on the social medias. Periodically, I do a TikTok video making fun of Tom McDonald, who is the Monster Energy version of Macklemore.
Dude, my Tom McDonald video got flagged for bullying, and I got an account strike. All because I said, all I said was, shut up, you're from Canada. And apparently, I'm bullying Tom McDonald.
Unbelievable. All right. Well, that's insane.
It's pretty funny.
But yeah, you can find me on social media at Sarge the Destroyer. I'm on all the socials except for Facebook because that place is a dumpster fire.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess with that out of the way, Sarge, would you like to say goodbye and I love you to the audience?
Hey, I fucking love you guys. Goodbye.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21+. Moto Casino.